Come on, let's give the Lord praise this morning. We bless him now. Come on, lift your voice to the Lord and bless his name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. For the word of the Lord comes to you. I hear the Lord saying, despite the storms, I am seated firmly in my throne, says the Lord. And I have not called my church to retreat. I'm calling you forward, says the Lord. Calling you forward into every storm, every battle, every obstacle, and past it, says the Lord. For no weapon formed against you, my beloved people, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I will lead you and I will guide you through every storm and into a time of victory and blessing, says the Lord, that you never dreamed was possible. This is not a time for you to listen to the reports that you hear around you and to become afraid. This is not a time to allow the rumors to make you nervous or to cause you to retreat. This is a time to hear my voice, says the Lord, and to move forward, because forward in front of you is a land of blessing. In front of you is a land of milk and honey. In front of you is a wide open place, says the Lord, where there are streams and valley, where you're going to pull copper and iron out of the rock, and where I'm going to accomplish work in you, says the Lord. I'm going to cause you to possess all that I am giving you. So continue forward, cross every stream, and do not blink when you see the storm or see the giant or hear the bad report, but march forward, my people, because I am going to bless you, reward you, and bring you into the promise, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we ask, God, that today in this service you would speak a word to each and every one of us right where we are. For those that are battling sickness, for those that are going through hard times financially, for people that are facing family problems and marriage problems and issues at home and at work, Lord, we thank you that your word steadies us and shines a light on our path so we can see exactly what to do and where to go. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We thank you for your light and your presence in our lives, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You can be seated. I'd like you to thank our worship team for doing a great job. And so wonderful. Just real quick before I get into the message. Good morning. Real quick before I get into the message. Real Options and Gateway City Church are going on a mission together to advance a culture of life in the Bay Area and beyond. As a church, we have the opportunity to participate in the Real Options annual Walk for Life. That's coming up Saturday, May 12th at Marshall Cottle Park. This event benefits the Ministry of Real Options Obria Medical Clinic, which serves thousands of men, women, families, and students in our community every year. We have a regular standing financial part in supporting this Real Options ministry, which we love and esteem so much. We invite you to start by getting a pledge sheet from the Real Options station at the Connect Center in the lobby, or by visiting their website, which is Real Option or friendsofrealoptions.net, friendsofrealoptions.net. And we thank God for the work that our friends at Real Options are doing. Also, little family update. Many of you have heard, but some have not, and I'm sad to share with you that our own Jessica Hughes passed away this last Thursday on her 27th birthday. Many of you will remember Jessica as the young lady who, shortly after her high school graduation, was involved in a super serious car accident. She received a traumatic brain injury. We've done a number of fundraisers for her over the years, about somewhere around $30,000 raised for her medical costs and for her family. And they've just had a really terrible time. She has survived these years since the accident, but then she got very weak here the last few days and passed away on her birthday. And I've been talking with her mother, Lisa. She's wrecked, devastated. And so please remember Lisa. And lift up that family in your thoughts and prayers. We're going to be celebrating her life. And the word is
The family wants everyone to wear bright colors this Friday at Gateway, and we're going to rejoice in the promise of heaven and in the knowledge that Jessica is slipped free of the bonds of her mortal flesh, and she is dancing in heaven's streets today with her Savior, and we're so glad for that. Amen. So please lift up the Hughes family in your prayers, and be prepared to show your love to Lisa in the weeks that are coming. She's at home just kind of working her way through. I encouraged her to grieve. I encouraged her to cry and experience everything and the healing that grief for believers can bring. We don't grieve as the world grieves. We grieve with hope. Amen. Aren't you glad for heaven? All right. Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Bible. Let's get into the Word of God. You can take a teaching outline. Grab one on the chair right next to you. And I want to welcome everybody here in the sanctuary. Those of you that are watching online, we're excited. 100, 150 people maybe today watching us and being a part of this service online. So that's treasure. That's wonderful. Many people in the cafe. Welcome, everybody. We're in week number 4 on a 6-week journey that we've been taking together. It's been fun, exciting, inspiring, I believe, and enlightening. It's called Reasons for Hope because everybody needs hope, and there are reasons, as Peter said, that we can have hope and reasons that we can share our hope with others. Our faith is not a faith of feelings and impressions, but our faith is a faith of rock-solid reasons. And thank God, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have to check your brain at the door to come to church. You don't have to check your brain at the door and just kind of go with feelings. There are some reasons why we can believe and some reasons why we can hope. And our faith is built on those reasons. And when you understand the reasons, your life goes to a place of stability and hope. We're talking through the issues of life and death and heaven and the existence of God, the personality of God. What is he like? And who does he love? And what does he require? And today's question kind of is a continuation of the question that Pastor Chip raised last Sunday, which was a great message, and I appreciate Pastor Chip so much in his teaching. He raised the question, can we believe the Bible? Can we trust the Bible? So my message this morning is kind of a bookend, the other bookend of these two messages. There's 7 reasons why we can trust the Scripture as God's Word, and I'm going to share the last 3 or 4 of them with you. And together, these two messages establish the information that's already written in chapters 3 and chapter 4 of the book that we've written for this series called Reasons for Hope. And I hope you've had a chance to read that book and get that. And I hope you're catching up to chapter 3, chapter 4, right about now, going to your life group, discussing the questions. It's a really good way to get strengthened. So we're tackling the topic of why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I'd like to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 55. Just before we read that passage, I want to tell you about Brian. Brian's a guy that I see over at the gym. He's a retired retired police officer. He tells me, we've talked about faith many times. He calls me Padre sometimes. And and he tells me that he's an atheist. The first time he said it with conviction. The second time he said it, he said, well, I'm an agnostic, so I know God's getting to him. So he comes up to me the other day, kind of brusque, you know, man of few words. He says, I found this Bible. It's like from 1821 or something. Up in my attic. Apparently it was my great-grandmother's Bible. What do I do with the thing? And I said, why don't you read it? It'll change your life. It's not just an ordinary book. Oh, he said, I'm not going to read it. That's to each his own, he says, to each his own. But he said, I was wondering if it was worth any money. I said, well, maybe you can eBay it. I don't know. I'm not interested in old Bibles. What I'm interested in is the message of the Bible, and I encourage you to get into it. Because the Bible is a book that will give you hope, and it'll shine a light on your path and help you to understand what God wants you to know. I think as we dive a little bit deeper into this today, we're going to understand what we're supposed to do with our Bibles. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain and snow can't go back." Everybody just say this, "I can't go back." Touch your neighbor and say, just don't go back, right? All right. "For as rain and snow can't go back once they've fallen, but soak into the ground and nourish the plants that grow, providing seed to the farmer and bread to the hungry, so it is when I, the Lord, when I say something, when I declare something, my word will go out and will not return to me empty, but it will do what I want it, and it will accomplish." There's power in God's word. "It will accomplish what I have determined." There's power in God's word. What he speaks is unlike anything. And if God has ever made a promise to you, and I hope you're discovering the promises of God, I hope you're investigating what God has said about you, and I want to encourage you about the promises of God for your life, he's not going to take any of them back. God's word is irreversible and irrevocable. If God has made a promise to you, if you're standing on a promise for a family member, or standing on a promise for your marriage, or standing on it, believing a promise and wondering, can I really trust this? Is God going to change his mind? God said, my word will not back up. I will not reverse it. Once I've spoken it, it will accomplish exactly what I set it into motion to do. And I promise you today, if you're a person of faith, God's word is working in you. It is working for you. It is opening beautiful doors for you, and God has a future and a plan for your life like you can't believe. Let's recap really quick what Pastor Chip was sharing last week as the first part of these seven reasons, and then I'll give you the next three. Last week we talked about believing that the Bible is the Word of God for good reasons. Number one, that the Bible itself declares it's God's Word. Okay, so the Bible makes this claim, this is the Word of God. That's important to understand. So the Bible wants us to believe it's God's Word. And then it is a supernatural work. We talked quite a bit about that. And then the characters, third, the characters in the Bible are authentic. And I loved the way it was pointed out that the people in Scripture, God doesn't sugarcoat the stories of Scripture or the people of Scripture. In other words, God isn't trying to hoodwink you. He's not trying to fool you by telling you a fairy tale. Fairy tales, everything comes out perfect and everyone is perfect and it always goes a certain way, and you can't really believe a fairy tale because it's too good to be true. When God writes the Bible, it lays out the good, the bad, and the ugly about the people that even God loves so much, the people that God loves so much, he shows you even their worst sides. So it's a believable book. It's a incredible book. You would believe someone who told you both sides of the story. You would believe that. And you would believe the Bible because it's authentic. It tells both sides of the story. It's got credibility. And most convincingly, I think, number four, we should trust the Bible because Jesus himself trusted the Bible and commanded us to trust the Bible. He said, you read in Moses, and Moses wrote of me. So what Jesus was saying is the Bible is believable, it is credible, we ought to put our faith in that. And if the Bible was right for Jesus, it's right for us. So now let's continue down this pathway and take a look at some more reasons why we can truly settle this issue and believe once and for all that the Bible really is God's Word. Here's one thing I would like to point out before we go any further. How many of you would like to know the God of the Bible? You'd like to know and experience his power, the God of the Bible. All right, how can you know the God of the Bible and experience his power unless you believe that the Bible is his word? It's very important. So you ask yourself the question, we ask ourselves the question, can we trust the Bible? Is it a document that we could possibly put our faith and our hope in? And the answer absolutely is we can trust. Have you ever wondered, can we really believe if the Bible is true, or can we trust it? And the answer is yes. And it's incredible to think that the God who created the heavens and the earth wants to speak to us and wants to communicate to us somehow. And one of the ways he does this, the primary way he does this, is through his word. And it's through his word, the word of God, that we can know God, the God of the Bible, and experience his power. Now, if you're watching this on video in your small group, I want to just take a minute, encourage you to go through chapter 4 in your book, Reasons for Hope. Talk through the questions and the materials, and let's get the conversation going in your life group, all right? The rest of us are going to get into the rest of the message here. Let me ask you guys this. How many of you have lost someone that you love very much? Someone has passed away. I was telling you about Lisa Hughes earlier in the service, sweet Jessica. I was talking to one of our women in leadership here in our church, and she was telling me that she had lost her mother about 4 years ago, where she said, I swear I can still hear her voice. When I get into times of confusion or hardships or I don't quite know what to do, it's like phrases will come. And she said, I swear there are times when I can feel her breath on my ear and I can hear her voice. You know, words are very powerful. Isn't it wonderful that God has a way of communicating to us emotionally and spiritually, that he can talk to us spiritually and he can reveal himself in marvelous ways through the scripture. Words are so powerful. The voice can be so powerful and can impact our lives in many ways. God's word more than any other word. God's voice more than any other voice, because God's word is different than the voice of a human. You would want to hear what God would say. You would want to know his breath on your ear and what he might whisper. And those experiences are possible today through the scripture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that God wants to speak to us through his word. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture, in fact, let's do this together, all right? Here we go. We're going to do it together. Come with me. Let's read this together. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize, come on, what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Look at that first phrase. All scripture is inspired. Everybody say inspired. In our church, we talk a lot about the inspired life, that our goal and our vision is to inspire, transform lives. What does it mean to inspire? The word inspire means breathed by God. When that Greek word says that all scripture is inspired, it's actually saying all scripture was breathed by God. And Peter said later in the New Testament that holy men of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And that word moved upon pictures a sailboat catching a wind. A sail filling with wind. Wind and breath moving people as they wrote. So that the process of Scripture being created was a breath of God entering into this world. A breath that gives us life. A breath that tells us that God is close. It denotes his energy and his life coming into us. When God breathes his word into our life, it carries power and energy as well as his very DNA. Now think about this. I don't know if you heard about this, but they did some research in Sweden just a few years back on breath. And they found this about human beings, that just as each of us has a unique fingerprint, watch this now, every living person has a breath print. In other words, you can breathe, if they have the right equipment, and I believe one day, instead of using fingerprints, or maybe in addition to using fingerprints to identify people, they will have the technology to measure identity by breath, because the breath that comes out of you is very unique. Some of you much more unique than others, I must say. Touch your neighbor and say, it's just a Tic Tac, man. Just use one, you know. So. But seriously, you have a unique profile in your breath that is related to your identity. Nobody else has breath like you. And God has a breath that when he breathes is not a human breath. It's got his DNA in it. It's got his unique signature to it, and it is the breath of God on you. It changes you and fills you and touches you. Remember one time when Jesus was gathered together with the disciples, and just before he ascended to heaven, he encouraged them, receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit, Scripture says he breathed on them. You say, well, that must have been awkward. I think it must have been awesome. That same breath, one of my favorite things to do is just get in my grandchild's face and smell her breath, little Mila, my little guys and girls. My children, they were young, not so much anymore, but just smell that breath. Imagine, would you? Imagine Jesus getting so close to you and just breathing on you. It says in Genesis chapter 2, Adam was just a lump of clay until the Creator breathed. And when God breathed on him, he became alive. He became a living soul. You say, I feel like I'm dying. In my marriage, in my career, I feel like I'm dying. If I have one more day of sickness, I feel like I'm dying. I'm dying here. What should I do? Let God breathe on you. God, who created you, just take one more breath. You say, how would I get the breath of God? You would pick up your Bible and you would read what's written there. And as you read, as you take in the Word of God, as you understand, as you hear His voice, it's like His breath. I'm not giving you some kooky spiritual thing. I'm telling you, all Scripture is given by the inspiration, the breath of God, that will fill your sails and move you forward when you can't move yourself. You can't propel yourself, but you need the breath of God to move you and to inspire you. That's what we talk about in our church, inspiring people. We want the breath of heaven to touch them and fill their lungs so that when they feel like they're dying, they feel like they're suffocating, suddenly they can breathe again. And I can tell you so many times where I was so confused, distraught, broken, weeping, unsure what to do. And I opened my Bible. And maybe it didn't happen in the first 5 minutes. Maybe it happened after 20 minutes. Or maybe it happened right away. Maybe it was the first verse I saw. Or maybe it was an hour in. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm going to read and I'm not going to stop until I get your breath. I need something. So broken and so perplexed. And then suddenly that breath just comes and I understand, okay, I'm going to make it. I feel His strength coming. I feel His stability entering into my life. And I have hope. Hallelujah. Everybody shout hallelujah. If you need hope, if you need breath, if you need life, I'm telling you, don't leave your Bible in the attic gathering dust. Don't try to eBay it. Read it. Because it's the breath of God entering into your life. The Bible is unique. And God, He releases His divine DNA to us through the breath print of His Word. I'll say this too. Jordan was talking earlier about our vision for 10 cities, and that's something that's so important to me, something that God breathed into me, and I cannot deny what God said to me and what He's shown me and how He's providing for us in wonderful ways to see this vision accomplished. It's not always easy. It's not always smooth. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and blood, sweat, tears, and meetings, and prayers, and fasting, but we're seeing the vision come to pass. And here's a promise that I want to make to you. If you say, what kind of ministries are we building? What are we doing in cities? What kind of a youth group do we want to have? What kind of men's group do we want to have? What kind of church do we want to plant in Phoenix or wherever else God may lead us? And I'll tell you, we're going to plant ministries and churches that are built four square on His Word. Now, if you like to believe things that are not written in the Bible, to each his own. But for me and for my house, I'm going to stay focused. I'm not getting my messages from aliens. I'm not interested in other holy books, other philosophies, and not quite as interested in what Oprah thinks or what a politician may think. Here's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in what the Lord has said. Because God said, when I speak, it never backs up. I don't take it back. It always accomplishes what I... People will fail you. People will make you promises and they'll break it, and maybe their heart was right and maybe they weren't. But irregardless, if you're trusting in a philosopher or you're trusting in a political leader, I hate to tell you, you're going to be disappointed. And that's on both sides of the aisle. Can I have an amen? When people speak, you can you can take it with a grain of salt. But when God speaks, it's going to happen. You can build your life. Why is this important? Why is it important? Because if the Bible is truly the Word of God, that gives us something to stand on. If we actually could settle this once and for all, the Bible is the Word of God. That means there's a whole lot of stuff I don't have to worry about believing. That means there's just a few things that I can put my hope in that will get me through the storm in my marriage. It'll get me through my college experience. It'll get me through my career. It'll get me through the sick times and the broken times. And it'll get me through the depression times and the fear times. And I can build my life on it. And that gives me hope. Because if it's true, I've got a plan. And it's going to work out all right. So we're going to build churches and ministries on the Scripture because there's no other foundation. Can I get an amen? All right, let's move forward. I want to talk to you just about those remaining three reasons, number 5, number 6, and number 7, why we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and let's settle it for these three reasons. Reason number 5, we believe the Bible is trustworthy, incredible, because its prophecies have been impossibly fulfilled. Impossible things have been fulfilled to the letter as predicted by Scripture. You would listen to someone who makes accurate predictions. If someone nails it every single time they talk to you and say, this is going to happen, and here's how and when it's going to happen, and it comes to pass exactly as it was predicted, you would listen to that. And the Bible has such a record. The Scripture says, let me just show you 2 Chronicles chapter 6. This is an illustration of how God fulfills His Word. This is the words of Solomon. He's praying and he says, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven and on earth. You are kind and you are loyal to those who follow you with all their heart. You, God, made a promise. Everyone say promise. You made a promise to your servant, my father David, and you kept that promise. You made that promise with your own mouth and with your own hands. You made it come true. I like the mouth and hands working together. God says it with his mouth and he does it with his hands. Sometimes our mouth and hands are going two different directions. We say it, we mean to do it. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to pick up my son at 3. I'm going to do all that. We say it. But sometimes our hand doesn't follow our mouth. But when God says it every single time, it comes to pass exactly as he has spoken it. Fulfilled prophecy is a miraculous aspect of the Scripture. Prophecy is something that is said in advance by foreknowledge. So before something happens, we have knowledge of exactly what's going to happen. And the Bible is a prophetic book. It's filled with prophecies, predictions, if you will. But we have record now, as the Bible is an ancient book, some of the older prophecies have come to pass, and specifically promises, if we just say, let's talk about Jesus and his life and all that, prophecies concerning Jesus, just as an example of one aspect, 300 of them have been perfectly fulfilled just concerning the life of Jesus Christ. It's miraculous, and you can read more about this in your book, Reasons for Hope. Over 300 prophecies. That's astounding. For example, just let's take one of the 66 books and just a few of the prophecies of Isaiah concerning Jesus Christ. We don't have time for 300, but let's just choose Isaiah for example, and it's just to highlight a few of those. Isaiah's prophecy about Christ is that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be of the house of David, the lineage of David, that he would have a preaching ministry, which of course came true. All of these came true. That he would remain silent before his accusers. That he would be beaten, spat upon, and mocked. And more and more and more. Dozens and dozens in Isaiah alone. And then all through the Old Testament, the intimate details about where Jesus would be born and how he would suffer and what he would look like and all of that fulfilled to a T. And it gives us hope to believe that the remaining ones that are yet to be fulfilled, the ones concerning the end of the world, or how God deals with injustice, or how God deals with sin, or how he deals with hell and heaven, that all of those things that we haven't yet seen come to pass, that they also will be fulfilled just as he has spoken. One mind-blowing example of a prophecy is the one concerning Cyrus. If we want to talk about Isaiah, just the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah, which was written 765 years before the birth of Christ, of course, he talks much about Christ, but one of the things he says is to his contemporaries in the city of Jerusalem and in the kingdom of Judah, where he says and predicts 80 years before the event that Jerusalem would be invaded by Babylon and that the walls of Jerusalem would be destroyed and that the children of Israel would be carried away into captivity into a foreign land. He prophesied all of this. And of course, it came to happen. But as he was giving the prophecy about the children of Israel being taken off into captivity, amazingly, he also prophesies that a king named Cyrus would arise in Persia, and he would issue a decree that all of the captives in the former Babylonian Empire would be released and that God's people would return to their land. So Isaiah goes way out on a limb. Cyrus hasn't even been born yet. And Isaiah names him. And do you know that is exactly what happens? And history records. We have the letters of Cyrus today, where he proclaimed freedom for the Jewish people to return to their homeland. And Isaiah nailed it 100 years before Cyrus was born. What kind of a God is this? What kind of a book is this that we read that has such accuracy? That even history has to bend its knees and say, I don't know how he did that, but he did it. And that's why we know and believe that the scripture is reliable. And here's what I would like to say before I take on the next point. We're talking about God seeing the future. Can I just share with you? He sees your future. He knows what's coming for you. He can look 100 years, he can look 5, he knows in the next 10 minutes whether you're going to be breathing and alive or not. And I want you to trust this God who is talking to you about your future, who sees your future, and I want you to believe his promises, and I want you to live in the light of those promises because you can trust this God and you can trust the word that he speaks to you. Can I have an amen this morning? All right, thank you. It's my birthday. Could you do better than that? You guys heard it's my birthday, right? You heard that? Was that mentioned? Could I get an amen on my birthday? Thank you. 57 years old. I feel good. The only thing that's got me worried, my nose and my ears have not stopped growing. So I'm praying about that, and I'm looking at my dad, and I'm going, good night. Is that what's ahead for me? So I'm believing. Stand with me in faith. I've got promises in the word. All right. Reason number 6. Why do we trust the Bible as the word of God? We believe because the Bible has been accurately transmitted. I don't want to take a whole lot of time on this point. You have lots written in your book on the process of what we call inscripturization. It's a broad subject, but basically the concern that is sometimes raised that since the Bible is an ancient book, how could it possibly still be accurate? The old game that we used to play as kids, telephone, I'm sure you played it. You get about 10 people in a circle and somebody whispers something into the ear of the first person, and then it goes to the next one. Then they whisper in the next one, then it goes to the next one. And by the time you get around, then the last person in the chain is supposed to say what the secret is, but it's almost never right. It's always usually hysterically funny, distorted. And because somehow in the process of transmission, that message got garbled, misunderstood. And so people say, well, how, you know, if the Bible was passed down from generation to generation, how do we know that it is reliable? And that's a really, actually a good question. I welcome that question because the Bible stands up very well to that question. If you would go with me to Israel, I'll take you to, you can't go this year because we're sold out. We got 48 people going in November, but we'll go again. You go with me to the region of the Dead Sea, and you'll go to a place called Qumran, where they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. You say, well, that doesn't sound very interesting. We do a lot of other fun stuff, but the interesting thing about the Dead Sea Scrolls is that they illuminate the fact that God watches over his word as it's transmitted from person to person. In other words, the same God who spoke it has a way of keeping it on track. You wouldn't think that God would speak his word and then say, oh, I lost control of the process here. The Bible, oh, gee, look what they're doing to the Bible. Oh, yikes, did I make a mistake? Oh, gee, oh, the Bible, you can't trust it anymore. God, No, God spoke it, and then he watched over the process. One of the ways we are reassured about this is because there were ancient copies of the book of Isaiah. We're talking a lot about Isaiah today. Copies of Isaiah and other Old Testament prophecies that were very old, the oldest ones that we had, until the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were proven to be 700 years older than the oldest, right? So now we have a chance to say, we're going to compare the super old ones to the old ones, and probably it's going to be two different stories. We're going to see for sure that the Bible got more and more jacked up with every year that went by. And do you know what happened when they compared the super old copies of Isaiah to the very old copies of Isaiah? Exact! Word for word, 700 years had not changed one period or comma. In other words, the same God that spoke it is watching over the process. He said, I watch over my word and I will perform it. You can trust the Bible because it has been accurately transmitted. Isaiah 40 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but God's word has a shelf life of about 3 weeks. And after that, is that what it says? A little expiration due date on it, right? Is that what it says? But the word of God will what? It will what? Stand forever. It's as fresh today as it was the day that God breathed it. We can have confidence in the scripture. And by the way, the central message of Scripture is Jesus. The Bible is about Jesus from cover to cover. I want to read to you something that I love so much. I didn't write it. People were asking me this. You can get it. You can find it on the internet very easily. But actually, I think they wrote a song using these words, but I'm going to read to you something called Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Jesus being the central message of the scripture. Are you ready? Thank you for your outstanding enthusiasm. In Genesis, he is our creator God. In Exodus, he's our redeemer. In Leviticus, he's our holiness. In Numbers, he's our guide. In Deuteronomy, he's our teacher. In Joshua, he is the mighty conqueror. In Judges, he's the perfect judge. In Ruth, he is your kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's a powerful prophet. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's the reigning king. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, he's our intercessor and our high priest. In Ezra, the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls. In Esther, he stands in the gap to deliver you from your enemies. In Job, he understands your pain. In Psalms, he is your reason to sing. In Proverbs, he is your wisdom for life. In Ecclesiastes, he is your purpose and your satisfaction. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover of your soul. In Isaiah, he's the mighty counselor, the prince of peace, and everlasting father. In Jeremiah, he's your comfort in times of suffering. In Lamentations, he's the ever faithful one upon whom you can depend. In Ezekiel, he's the son of man. In Daniel, he's the ancient of days. In Hosea, he's your faithful lover. In Joel, he is your refuge. In Amos, he bears your burdens. In Obadiah, your mighty savior. In Jonah, he is your salvation. In Micah, he is your peace. In Nahum, he is your avenger. In Habakkuk, he is the Holy One. In Zephaniah, he is mighty to save. In Haggai, he's the Lord of hosts. In Zechariah, the crucified son. In Malachi, the son of righteousness. In Matthew, he's the king of the Jews. In Mark, he's the faithful servant. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he is the risen Lord and the savior of the world. In Romans, he's your justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he's your righteousness. In 2 Corinthians, he's your triumphant one. In Galatians, he sets you free. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In 1 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 2 Thessalonians, he's your glory. In 1 Timothy, he's your mediator. In 2 Timothy, he's your master. In Titus, your blessed hope. In Philemon, he's your benefactor. In Hebrews, he's your great high priest. In James, he is our judge. In 1 Peter, he is our example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. In 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he is your pattern. In 3 John, he is your truth. In Jude, he's the foundation of your faith. And in Revelations, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the theme. He is the theme of the Bible, the whole book. Points to him. And if you know the Bible but don't put your trust in Jesus, you've missed the point. Of his kingdom there will be no end. He shall reign forever and ever, for he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't miss the main point of the Bible, brothers and sisters. It's all about Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, it's all about Jesus. Our church is all about Jesus. Our life is all about Jesus. And here's the seventh reason for us to trust and believe him. Reason number seven, the Bible has real impact on our lives. John 8:32, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and it'll make you feel good. Is that what he said? You'll know the truth and what? It'll make you free. How many here can say that scripture has an impact in your life and it changes your life and it shapes your life? You're looking at a person who was saved because God wrote the Bible. My life was changed because of what I read and believed in the Bible. And I encourage you, whatever storm you're going through, trust in the Bible and let him give you hope. So Brian says to me, what do I do with this thing? And I say, read it. Let the breath, let the DNA of heaven fill your sail and move you through every season of life. Let him guide you and breathe life into you when you feel you can't go on. Come to God and his word and receive your life. Amen. Just bow your heads and I'd like to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for bringing us together to hear your word. I thank you that your promises are true and can be trusted. And I pray that you would fill our lives with yet more hope. That you are trustworthy. That you are a promise keeper. That you have a plan for us. You see our future. And thank you, Lord, that we can believe that our sins will be forgiven. Thank you that we, like Jesus, will rise from the dead. And one day, though we slip through the surly bonds of this earth, we lay our flesh into a grave, into a box in the dirt. Yet one day our spirit will rise to live forever with you in eternity. Thank you for the promises of God. Thank you for comfort when we need it. Thank you for strength and provision when we need it. These are all things you've promised. We choose to trust in you. Let hope rise afresh in our hearts. Just while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me just encourage those of you that may be here today that have kind of missed the point up until now, because Christ isn't truly the center of your life. Maybe you're not somebody who meant to let him slip out of the center of your life. You didn't know better. Something happened and you just found yourself away from God. You can come back to God. Or maybe you've never believed or trusted for the forgiveness of sins, for the hope of heaven. You've got a sin problem in your life. You're not right with God and you'd like to fix that today. You can, if you'll invite Christ into your life. You just simply open the door to him. He comes in with his love and his grace, and he forgives you and renews you and makes you a brand new creature in Christ. If you're here today and you need Jesus, I want to pray for you. I want to take 30 seconds. I would never embarrass you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but I want to pray for you. And I want to ask you, if you'd like that prayer and you need that prayer and you want to open your heart to Christ, just lift your hand now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every Christian praying, just lift your hand right now. Say, Pastor David, I need Jesus. I need to invite Christ into my life. I see your hand in the back. God bless you, young man. Anyone else, just lift your hand. I need the Lord. Yes, I see you also. Thank you. To my right, way in the back, I see your hand. Over to the middle section, thank you. Another one. Probably 7 people now. Is there an 8th, 9th, or 10th person? Say, pray for me. Yes, sir, I see you. Wonderful. Praise God. You know, we put our trust in him. Thank you. I see your hand in the back. That's good. 3 people all together. Wonderful. You know what? About 10, 12 people just lifting their hands. Okay, you can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, it's no accident that we're here. Thank you for your amazing love. We want to be forgiven. And I pray for these that have raised their hands, forgive us of our sins. Wash away. Lord, break the power of the enemy. I know the enemy's also got a plan. He's got some words. He's speaking to these ones. We break those words in Jesus' name. And we loose these ones to serve you, Jesus, in freedom and in forgiveness. Thank you for your love. As they open their hearts to Christ, let it become real. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's tell these 12 or 13 people that raise their hands, praise the Lord. A couple more things to do before we go. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings, as Jordan mentioned, but I want to put up a prayer on the screen because something important is taking place here. People are being reminded of things that are important, and these 12 or 13 people that gave their lives to Christ and 7 or 8 in the first service, you know, we want to make sure they've got a good, strong foundation. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer, especially those of you that raised your hand. I want to encourage you, if you did raise your hand and you're making a decision for the Lord, take that card you heard about earlier in the service. It says, it's right in front of you. It says, I've decided. Would you fill that out just after we say this prayer and let me know what your decision is? I'd love to get that card. But let's all say this prayer together because we all need this prayer. All right, here we go. Father God, I praise you for giving me so many reasons for hope. I thank you for your infallible word that brings change and fulfillment in my life. Today, I embrace the truth you have revealed in your word, and I boldly declare that I will walk in freedom in Christ's name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Ushers, come on. We're gonna worship here for just a few minutes with our giving and with the music, and then I'll come back and speak a blessing and dismissal.
Saying I will build my life.
Well, it's very special to have the opportunity to connect and be together. We're a spiritual family, and Sundays is kind of like a family reunion. So I'm going to release you in just a moment with a blessing, but I want to mention why my friends are up here. If you came today with a hurt in your life or a question in your life, just wanted to talk to somebody or check in or receive prayer if you need healing prayer, our ministry team is here this afternoon available to pray with you. I encourage you to do that. And then also all the things you heard about earlier in the service, our classes and events and so forth, good things that you could be a part of. You can get all the information in our connection center in the lobby. So I encourage you to do that and be a part of what God is doing. Amen. Would you lift your hands? Let me bless you. Father, let your blessing, your very breath, breathe upon us today with the breath of life and fill us, Lord, with more than enough strength to face what's going on in the world and what's happening in our world. Fill us with that kind of strength, Lord, that perfect rest and strength be ours, grace and peace on your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Love each and every one of you. God bless you guys. If I haven't met you, Kathy and I would love to just say a quick hello. And if you need prayer, come and join us here at the front. God bless.